great, beginning with verse 1. Who is wise? I like his questions. I mean, this is a wise man, right? Asking who is wise. Who knows the interpretation of a thing? You know, this makes sense to you. You see this, you can see it in the classroom of school, or you can see it in any setting. It says the wisdom makes a man's face shine. If you've got the answer and you know how to go about it, it illuminates, doesn't it? I mean, you just tell it, and it says it changes strong faces. Wisdom makes a man's face shine, changing strong faces. When you know how to go about things, it affects and influences those around you. Doesn't matter how tough they are, they can't help to be impressed when they can't figure it out, you understand? Keep the king's word and beyond reason God's oath. In other words, the king gives a commandment, keep it. But more than that, you make oath to God, you better keep it, is what he says. Do not be hasty to walk before the king. Nothing evil will stand. In other words, you better think about it before you go in. Weigh the consequences, weigh it out. He says he does whatever pleases him. Now, see, we really don't have the concept of that in this society today because we don't associate with anything that has autonomous power. I mean, you think about it. Anything that you do today, it's like in the court of law or whatever. You can have all the evidence in the world and pictures of the man in action killing somebody, and he can stay on death row 20 years, right? But see, in that day, the king could have you executed at the snap of a finger that quick. How long did it take him to get the head of John the Baptist?
2 days.
See, that's autonomous power. And this is what he's saying. You walk before the king, you better walk softly. Because evil's not going to stand before him. He can do whatever he wants to. He can acquit you, he can kill you, he can promote you, he can do whatever. Well, how much more should we think about that when we walk before the King of Kings? Walk in His presence, and I'm talking about Jesus, you understand. When the Word of the King dominates, who can ask Him what He is doing? Heed His commands and do not observe evil things. The heart of the wise understands both timing and way of expression. Now, those are two critical things. Timing and way of expression. Let me tell you, approach is so important. How you say things, how you present things. You can present it wrong and turn people off. I mean, not only turn them off, make them mad. And then you can present things in the wrong timing. For instance, don't try to correct someone when they're angry and upset. You think they're going to receive that correction? And don't try to do it when you're angry. Because we probably won't go about it right. So timing is extremely important, and the way we express things is also just as important. For every matter, there is a time and way of expression. Anything you can think of, there's the right time for it, and there's a proper way to express it. And the evil person is greatly opposed. Who knows what shall come to pass? Who can announce when it will come to pass? Now, here again, looking at this from a natural perspective, what Solomon is saying is, who knows the future? Who can actually tell me the future? Who knows what's going to happen 10 years from now? 10 days from now. See, we don't know that without divine revelation from God. No one has the power to retain his own spirit or dominion over the day of death. In other words, who can say, I'm not going to die? I know that, thank God, we have a covenant and we don't have to die before our time. But everybody has a time. And when that time comes, the best of the best didn't overcome death, did they? None are discharged during war, and there is no escape for those who do not take control over wickedness. Now, pardon? It sure is. The C's left out, isn't it? Thank you. I don't know what discharged is. Have you ever thought about that? I don't know how familiar you are with the military, but when there's a war declared, like World War II, World War I, and nobody's discharged. It didn't matter if your time's up, if you've run out your contract. You understand you are under contract in the military. I know when I went in, I guess it's still that way. You sign a 6-year contract. And I opted to take 4 years active, 2 years inactive. You can take 2 years active, 2 years active reserve, and then 2 years inactive reserve. There's different ways, and I don't know if they still go about that. But in the case of war, all that doesn't matter. And I thought about that. None are discharged during war. God's not letting anybody off duty. We're in war, aren't we? And if you take control over wickedness, he said, there's none that can escape it if we'll take control. Realizing all these facts, Solomon gave his heart to every work that's done in the earth. He recognized that there is a time when one man rules over another to his own hurt. Have you ever seen that? I've really seen this pretty predominant in the military when you have whoever the senior officer is, you know, can be out there ruling and be absolutely ignorant. And he can have a guy under him that's seasoned and been there and experienced in those things, and he's better off to take his advice. But so often they won't take the advice. You know, they're trying to make a name for themselves, being John Wayne or whomever. And anyway, get in trouble. So you can rule over somebody to your own hurt. If they know more than you do, then you'd better submit, right?
Yeah.
Even if you are in charge. Solomon saw the wicked buried, and after going to their sacred place, and I believe that's referring to the cemetery, the city forgot the way the wicked had lived. You ever notice that? How we are at funerals. You know, talk about them like a dog when they're living. And then when they go to the funeral home, we brag about their good deeds. He said, this is worthless. Think about it. Because sentence is not executed speedily against evil deeds, the hearts of people are full of evil deeds. And that's one of the major problems in this nation today. Like I was saying earlier, I mean, you know, you can get the death sentence and all the evidence in the world against you, and you can plead guilty and admit you killed them and still sit on death row and die of old age. So evil gets worse and worse, doesn't it? A sinner may commit 100 evils and live long, yet it is better for those who fear God and are reverent in His presence. Don't gauge it by how if the wicked's doing well at that particular time. I guarantee you, the day of accountability comes. It shall not be well for the wicked. The prolonging of his days are as a shadow, because he does not fear God. What do you know about a shadow? It disappears, doesn't it? It's temporary, short-lived, isn't it? There is a vanity that takes place on earth. This is what it is. There are righteous people who are affected by the deeds of the wicked, and there are wicked people who are affected by the deeds of the righteous. These occurrences lack purpose. Now, he's looking at this from a natural perspective, you understand. Why? What's the purpose of it? But yet, when it rains, does it rain only on those who are serving God? The drought, did it affect just the sinners or did it affect everyone? You see that? Now, I can't explain all that. And I wouldn't recommend you trying. Because who knows the mind of the Lord in the fact of the secret things belong to God. I know we have the mind of Christ. But do you think Christ is smarter than we are? Do you think He knows more than we are? Do you think He's practiced more than we have? Solomon commended joyfulness because in his estimation there's nothing better for a man to do in this world than to eat, drink, be happy all the days of his life that God gives him here on earth. He said, look, man, you working, you labored, you get your money, go on, eat your food, drink, be happy, have a ball. You're going to die. Enjoy it. That's worldly wisdom. And the world still thinks that way today, doesn't it? Now, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't enjoy it. You should. As long as you keep the priorities in order. Solomon gave his heart to know wisdom and to see the business that takes place upon earth. Men working day and night without sleep. Well, that hasn't changed, has it? I don't know any of you been watching Joyce Meyer. I've seen just bits and pieces of her. But she's somewhat in that area right now. You know, the land has no rest. And this is something that, you know, we've observed for years. We're not under the law of Moses. I understand that and don't try to advocate living by commands, rules, regulations. But I believe there's some wisdom in all this. I know from, believe it or not, I remember this from high school. I'm even amazed at that. That you rotate crops so you don't deplete the soil of its minerals. And then in that rotation of crops, there are years that you don't plant in the field to let the field replenish itself in minerals. We don't let the land rest. You understand? This land runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's no rest. I know growing up, you couldn't buy gas till after 1 o'clock when I was 16. City ordinance. No, you can. Grocery stores were closed on Sundays. But see, when does the land rest? It has no rest. Consequently, we don't rest. You know, when we're off work, what are we doing? We're going somewhere. Doing something, aren't we? I mean, why waste a day if the mall's open, right? Why am I getting all these looks? Oh, my. Am I meddling now, so I'd better move on? Is that what you're telling me? No, the land needs rest. People need rest. Solomon said this is working night and day. For what? You're going to die. He saw the works of God and realized that no effort put forth by men would be sufficient to discover all the deeds that God's done in this world. The wise may say he knows, but he's unable to find them. You know, scientists, they brag and make their various boasts on what they know and almost defiant of God. You know, they're not going to say what God did. They'll say nature or whatever. They don't know. They don't know. I mean, if you just stand out here, I was looking yesterday and again today, you know, going to my house, you go up that hill right at the county line, and I'm going to tell you what, when the leaves turn, it's absolutely beautiful down there. I mean, you can go anywhere you want to go. I don't think you'll see much prettier sight. And just crossing that hill today, I just said, Lord, you amaze me. You know. Now, I can't explain that. Who can explain why the leaves turn colors? Scientists? No, they can give you theory. They can't explain why. Only God could explain why. He knows why He did it that way. What's the rhyme or reason? Why are the leaves green during the spring? Why do they turn in the fall? Why do they fall off in the winter? I don't know. I don't have a clue. You know why? Because it's beyond me. God is so much smarter. We can study all we want to. Do you think we can figure God out? If you ever figure God out, then you'll be God. Think about that one. Oh, well. Just thought I'd share that with you. Chapter 9. Solomon applied his heart to examine what he had seen. He concluded that the deeds of the righteous and the wise are in God's hands. No man knows whether love or hate awaits him. Who knows what tomorrow holds for you? People may treat you nice or they may treat you bad. You don't know. You don't know who you're going to run into tomorrow, do you? Old Solomon did a lot of thinking. He did a lot of observing, didn't he? He tested a whole lot of stuff. And then he wrote it down so we could learn from profit from it, didn't he? All people experience one righteous destiny. It doesn't matter if they're good or bad, if they're clean or unclean, if they sacrifice or if they don't sacrifice. The good's no different than the sinner. The one who swears is no different from the one who is afraid to swear. So out of all that's done in the world, there's one bad event that everybody's going to experience. You know what that is? You're going to die. The hearts of the people are full of evil. They live with foolish hearts, don't they? And then what happens? They die. And we need to come to grips with that. I mean, don't be afraid to use that word. Die. The deceased. Pass away. It's amazing how we water things out. I know back years ago I was asked to go to the house and tell the family that a member of their family had been killed in a wreck. And I was trying to do it in a professional way, I guess. I don't know. And just building that to it. And this guy went off on me and got sort of irate. And then when he got irate, I got about half upset myself. I said, the man is dead. Now, you know what? He understood that. Now, if I just said that to begin with, I could probably save myself a whole lot of heartache if I just go in and say, you know, the man's dead and all of us are going to die. Right? Doesn't matter how good you are. People say, well, I don't understand why he died. I mean, man, that's one of the best people I've ever seen. And here you got this old wino that's been living out here on the streets all these years. Why didn't he die? Well, he will. But aren't you glad God's merciful? That old wino may die a Christian instead of a wino, you know. But death awaits everyone. So you shouldn't be afraid of death if you're a born-again believer, right? Because it's already been taken care of. We pass from death to life, right? So we shouldn't have a fear of death. Now, I'm not saying go out and shoot yourself tonight either, you know. Hurry up the process. Right? One who is associated with the living has assurance. Let me have you know a living dog better than a dead lion. A living dog's not afraid of a dead lion, is he? The living know that they're going to die. But the dead don't know anything. Neither is any more compensation for them. As a matter of fact, the memory of them is forgotten. love, hatred, envy of the dead vanished. They no longer have a share of anything that's done in this world. In other words, when you put them in the cemetery, there they are. Not doing a thing for society anymore, are they? You know, when Daddy died there for a few days, every morning when I'd leave the house and go to the church, I'd pass by the cemetery. I'd just pull in there and drive around the grave. One morning I started to turn in there, and the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, "Why are you seeking to live among the dead?" I said, "Well, I won't do this anymore." I said, "I quit." Now people think I'm cold. See, I'm not there anyway. You know. An exhortation is given to go your way, eat your bread with joy, drink your wine with cheerful heart, because long ago God accepted our deeds. Now, Solomon says this in different ways, but the essence of what he's saying is, you know, God designed man to work. You understand that when Adam was created and placed in the Garden of Eden, he was put there to work? What did God tell him to do? Toil it and guard it. Cultivate it. Guard it. Right? Mm-hmm. So God never created man not to work. He didn't create us to be lazy. He created us to do something. So he accepts our labor. And he accepts the fact that we do labor so we can eat and we should enjoy these things. But they shouldn't become your God. Like happens so often with people in this society. He said, always let your clothes be white and your head sufficiently anointed. Now, I don't think that means to Clorox your color, but I do think it means to stay clean. You stay clean. You know, it's all right. Matter of fact, one of the translations, I believe the way it reads is, put on a dash of cologne. Well, that's all right too, right? In other words, don't go around life mourning. Then this one, I'll read this. It'll probably be a little bit different than your translation, but I believe this is pretty accurate, best we could do with it. See life with the wife whom you love all the days of your temporary life that's been given to you in this world. This is your allotment in life. So it's all right to go on vacation with your wife. That's your portion. Of course, you're saying enjoy. Is that what it says? Live joyfully. Well, actually, the word is to see. The Hebrew word is see or to see. Work because you're a laborer in this world. Now, everybody just say to yourself, I'm a laborer in this world. I'm not sorry. I'm not lazy. I work. I was designed to work. Right? Do whatever your hands find to do with all your might. You know what that means? If I understand it correctly, it's what Daddy used to tell me. A job worth doing is worth doing right. In other words, it's the second time.
First time.
First time. Well, he also had another saying that applied to me quite often. All right, do it over. A job done right is done twice. Tear it down, do it again. You catch on after a while. A lot of people just want to do things and get them done. You know, just get it over with. But if you're going to do it correctly. You know, do it right. Do the best you can do. And I believe that's basically what he's saying here. He says there's no activity, there's no intelligence, there's no knowledge, there's no wisdom in hell, Sheol, the world of the dead, where you're going. I didn't say you were going to hell, did I? But you are going to the world of the dead. Every one of us will. Right? Excuse me? The body. Yeah.
The body.
I didn't write it. I'm just reading it, okay? Then the word there is Sheol, but see, Sheol is translated different ways. Sheol is a place of the dead, or you can translate a place of torment, you know, departed spirits or whatever. We're not talking about everybody's going to a place of torment, okay? No, those of us living in this torment wanting to get out and go into a place of rest and peace and joy, right? Yeah. With the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon observed that in this world, the fastest do not always win the race. Nor do the most powerful always win the battle. The wise do not always get the food, neither does wealth always come to those of understanding. Favor is not always given to the one with knowledge. Time and chance affect all of them. Now, whether you want to admit this or not, it's just a reality of life. It's not what you know, it's who you know. The best candidate doesn't always get the job. Right? The one most qualified doesn't always get the job. If you happen to know somebody, then you have a better shot. Time and chance, and just being at the right place at the right time will help you too. That's what he's saying. How many of you know the fastest doesn't always win? Doesn't. The strongest doesn't always win. Man does not know his time. As fish caught in a net and birds caught in a snare, so are people caught when evil times come upon them suddenly. Now see, this is where the believer has some insight. The evil times did not catch them suddenly. They don't come upon them unaware. Consequently, you can avoid traps and avoid snares, right? Solomon saw this wisdom in the world, and it seemed great to him. You think about this. This is what he's observing. There was a small city with few people in it, and this small city was surrounded by a great king, and this king built large bulwarks or embankments against the city. But inside the city, there was a poor wise man who lived there, and through his wisdom, he delivered the city. In other words, he told them what to do. The city was delivered. He said, but nobody remembered him. Why didn't he? Because he was poor. He didn't have any clout. You understand? Didn't matter how smart he was. He just didn't have any clout. Nobody remembers him. So Solomon makes another observation. He says, you know, wisdom is better than strength. Now you think about it. Here this great king has the city surrounded, but yet he wasn't able to overcome the city because this man's wisdom knew how to overthrow their strength. But he said a poor man's wisdom is discredited. The attention is not given to his words. In other words, we're delivered. We don't need this guy anymore. Listening to the quiet words of the wise is more beneficial than listening to the shouts of foolish rulers. I believe we can glean from that, too, if you are a ruler. I believe if you're wise, then you won't be yelling and ranting and raving at your employees. I believe you'll have a different approach than that. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. But sin destroys much good. And then we'll go into chapter 10. You know, it's amazing how long it takes to write this and how quick you teach it. A little foolishness affects the value of wisdom and honor just as dead flies produce a bad odor in the liquid of a perfume maker. Now, I've never gone around sniffing dead flies, but evidently they have a bad odor to them or something that affects the perfume, right? Well, how many of you know that foolishness is not becoming to a wise person? Then you'll cease to see him as a wise person. You'll start to see him as a fool, right? A wise heart is directed to the right, but a foolish heart is directed to the left. And I'm sure that's an idiom of some sort for that day. But if I understand it correctly, the wise heart's going to take him down the right path. The fool's heart's going to take him the opposite direction. Even as he walks down the road, the fool lacks understanding, so everyone says he's foolish. In other words, you can just see him going the direction he's going, And he doesn't know that he's going in the wrong direction, and the other people that's observing saying he's foolish. Have you ever seen people do things and you wonder, why in the world do they do? Why can't they see that? If the anger of a ruler rises against you, do not abandon your position. Calmness prevents great offenses. In other words, just stand your ground, keep your position, be calm about it. Don't get upset with him because he's upset with you. Because in that calmness, he's going to see something that'll probably unnerve him a little bit. There is an evil that can be seen in this world. And here's what the evil is. It's a mistake that's made by rulers. The foolish are given positions of great honor, and the noble are placed in inferior positions. How many times does that happen? A fellow just put a good friend there, be dumb as a wall, but put him into a position, not know anything about the position. And then he takes someone that does have knowledge, does have wisdom, and then put them in some humble position. Solomon said, I've seen servants riding horses while the nobleman walked as servants. You know what he's saying? There's something wrong with this picture. One who digs a pit will fall into it. One who breaks through a wall will be bitten by a snake. And that's over my head. Somebody explain that one to me. I think what he's saying here again, I think this is an idiom, okay? That if you're trying to get at somebody, it's going to end up coming back on you. That's what I get out of that, okay? One who quarries stones or splits wood may be injured. Mm-hmm. You ever split any wood and had it kick back and hit you in the shin or whatever? I've never quarried stones, but I have had been hurt splitting wood. If the dull blade of an axe is not sharpened, more strength must be used. How many of you know that? Therefore, wisdom is profitable for success. I was reading a book one time about a fellow that was walked by a guy who was cutting a tree using the chainsaw. And all he was getting was powder. He said, man, why don't you sharpen the chain on that saw? He said, I don't have time. I got to cut this tree. Well, that's sort of the same deal right there. You know, sometimes it's faster to sharpen your axe or sharpen your chain, right? Anytime it'll be faster. Okay? And with an axe, you're going to have to hit a whole lot harder if it's not sharp, right? Well, I've got a feeling that carries on into some other things, too. How often do we talk about being dull? It's a whole lot more effort to get your point across, right? But if you're sharp, then you can pick up on things and get your point across a whole lot better. Without enchantment, a snake will strike. Now, I don't know how many of you take your little oboe or whatever and sit there and charm snakes, but, I have seen snake charmers from a distance. He said a gossiper's no better. You know what that means? Somebody better charm that gossiper. Because if you don't, that gossiper's going to bite you. Always remember this. A person gossiping to you, they'll gossip about you. Words from the mouth of the wise are kind. The foolish lips destroy. The fool's words begin with foolishness and the end with evil nonsense. A fool multiplies words. You know what that says? He talks too much. But no one knows the future. Who can predict what's going to take place? I get amazed at some of the conversation I hear at the barbershop. And it's probably worse at the beauty shop, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. People talking about stuff, you can sit in there and run the world. Solve all the problems and know how the president should do this and the Congress should do that, right? And all we see is the superficial stuff. We don't know the integral part. The labor of the foolish is exhausting. He does not even know how to get to town. I thought that was pretty interesting, you know. He works hard, he wears himself out, he doesn't have enough sense to get to town, is what I get out of that. Woe to the land whose king is a boy and his leaders eat in the morning. In other words, party time, that's what he's saying. Happy is the land whose king is the son of nobles and his leaders eat at the proper time, and they're eating for strength, not for excitement. Well, I don't know. I better not say that. Let me let it suffice to say I believe we could improve. Because of habitual laziness, a building is ruined. A house leaks because of negligent hands. Have you noticed, I mean, even in this area right here, how many buildings are sitting empty? And what happens? It just deteriorates, doesn't it? Gets all kinds of problems, and then somewhere down the road, a few years later, they'll condemn it or whatever and tear it down. A perfectly good building condemned because of neglect. Food produces laughter. Wine makes life cheerful. But money gets everybody's attention. Isn't that true? I mean, there's a lot of laughter around the table. You eat, you're hungry, you eat, you enjoy your food. Wine, you can do a little more than laughing, you know. I'm not advocating drinking. Okay? But you break the money out, got everybody's attention, hadn't it? I mean, somebody comes up on the job and says, look, you got to work for me, I'll give you such and such amount of money, more than you're making. Wait a minute, hey, let's talk. Right? Got your attention, then. Well, we know all that. Be alert. Do not speak lightly of the king in your bedroom, neither speak lightly of the rich, because a bird of the air will carry your voice and reveal your words. Many of you have ever heard anybody say, or have you ever said, little birdie told me? You know where they're getting that from? Interesting, isn't it? Now, the message I see is you may think you're doing it in secret, but somebody will hear and tell on you, people that you confide in. I'm going to tell you right now, you better know who you confide in. You better watch what you say. Some things you don't say, period. Because they get repeated. Now, I've seen such violations in church and leadership and all that. You know, tell somebody something in confidence. Discuss something in confidence. And you're just discussing it. And then they distort what you're discussing and go out and tell other people. And they've got the wrong message. So you better know who you confide in. And just guard yourself. Sometimes you're just better off not saying anything. You know? Just keep it to yourself. I'm going to stop right there and we'll go ahead and take our break. We'll pick back up to chapter 11. We should finish this next session, probably do a review, because they're short chapters.